What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Sit Still, Look Opinionated. I'm your host, Claire Malky. So with this episode, we are halfway through season four. I can't even believe it. This part of the season always makes me feel some kind of way. Like, we've already accomplished so much, but it really is an ongoing process. And sometimes I just can't even believe that I get to make this podcast. And it just happened because of a chance encounter, and here we are. I know this sounds kind of corny, but I honestly consider all of you listeners my friends. Maybe that's because I work from home and I live alone. So there are some days when I don't talk to anyone except all of you. Again, I probably need to go out more. But you know what really good friends do? They support each other. And you can support this podcast by joining us on, you guessed it, Patreon. If you join us at the $3 level, aka mildly opinionated, you'll get a weekly update about what we're working on for the show. It's really fun, and it's written by yours truly. So, speaking of friends, I'm very late to the party, and I just started playing the video game Animal Crossing. I wanted it because one of my friends had it and showed me their island, and they were like, it's so cool, you get to decide everything. You're basically God. And I was like, okay, sign me up. Complete control over every decision? Absolutely. I gotta say, though, there were some things I was not expecting from Animal Crossing. My first day on the island, I was really surprised that there was nothing there. I was like, okay, cool. I guess that's sort of, you know, make it as you go. But then walks in none other than Tom Nook, the actual god of Animal Crossing. He's very charming, and he's like, welcome to your island, Claire. Island life is so fun. But first, you just need to pay me. Excuse me? Pay you what, Mr. Strange Little Personified Animal? And I'm like, okay, but whatever, you know, I'll start playing the game and, you know, see how it goes. So I'm going about my business, collecting bells, cutting down trees, digging up fossils, when it hits me. This game is capitalism. It's 100% capitalism. Tom Nook is shady as hell is all I'm saying. He's like, you can have anything you want, but it'll cost you 2,000 bells. And as I started playing, I had so many existential questions. First off, why are Tom Nook's helpers named Timmy and Tommy? Tommy and Tom are the same name. And if you're like, they're his sons, why is he forcing them to work? I think we need to review some child labor laws. And then Tom Nook is like, here's this island. There was nothing here before you came to it. And I'm like, isn't that a little Christopher Columbus-y attitude of you? We are colonizing this island. Like, I can't get over it. And don't even get me started on the museum. Blathers the Owl is all fine and dandy to take animals out of their natural habitat and put them into captivity. I swear, my island is about to turn into SeaWorld. I wanted to play this game to escape reality, not have it reinforced down my throat. But in all seriousness, even though the game makes me question my literal every move on this earth, it's a privilege to play it in the first place, and that I have a home to play it in. And it's getting colder and colder every day here in Chicago, and I can't help but wonder what it must be like for people with insecure housing. We have got a great show for you all today. We have Lee Poe from the Chicago-based organization Sarah's Circle here with us in the Sit Still studio. This interview is so good, and I'm really excited to talk about all the work that Sarah's Circle is doing, so make sure you stick around. This week, I am drinking a coffee from the new coffee shop in Animal Crossing 2.0. Grab your drink and let's get started. Up next, this week's headlines. William Shatner went to space last week. That's the first time he's gotten that high without breaking the law. A racy music video aired that was shot inside of one of Spain's most famous cathedrals. The Archbishop made a public apology saying he had no idea about the video or its contents, or how old those boys were. Due to supply demands, the price of furniture, food, and rent have increased. But IKEA meatballs will always be the same. The state of Georgia lost track of which elevators are past due on their annual inspections. Their standard of operations is the Tower of Terror. Australia will be launching a moon rover to search for oxygen in the lunar soil. Silly Aussies, you can't breathe dirt. Internal documents show that Instagram is struggling to retain young users. The millennials that run it were questioning, "Am I the old one now?" Bill Clinton is in the hospital for non-COVID-related issues. That's also what Colin Powell said. The infamous Banksy artwork that self-shredded at auction was once again auctioned off, but for 10 times the original price. When the new owner hung it up, his house exploded. In the January 6th investigation, Biden refused to honor Trump's claim of executive privilege. Trump is basically that server that got fired, but still shows up for their comped meal. After 17 missionaries were kidnapped last week, experts have stated that Haiti is falling into a kidnapping crisis. And all because no one wants to work service jobs anymore. 18-year-olds have begun training to drive trucks due to a shortage of truck drivers. And all because no one wanted to work kidnapping jobs anymore. China has denied its testing of a hypersonic missile. It has also denied establishing a working relationship with Dr. Robotnik. Health departments can't handle the pandemic because employees are quitting due to burnout. And all because no one wants to work kidnapping jobs anymore. Chicago's police president said the union plans to fight the city's vaccine mandate. They'll also change their slogan, to protect, serve, and contaminate. One-third of Chicago's police officers face discipline for not reporting their vaccine status, resulting in less officers on the streets. Looks like COVID did one thing right. Due to mistrust in the government, Russians are avoiding the COVID vaccine, Sputnik V. Maybe try giving it a more friendly name, like vodka or communism. New York City officials aren't sure where to store the newly removed statue of Thomas Jefferson. Our suggestion, the bottom of the ocean. And that was this week's headlines. Okay, up next, how to get the most out of your holy water.
Hi. Thank you for waiting. Don't worry, I'm here. You must be Kayla.
No, I'm Claire.
So here's the deal. The bigwig producers at NYC think all this COVID and social justice talk is depressing our viewers. So they're bringing me on as your new co-host to fix the show. Isn't that fun, Kara?
Claire, I'm sorry, but, sir, I'm genuinely asking this. Are you high? Because you must be if you think that you can just come here into my show.
Not yet, but while I fix that, why don't you take a look over the new script? It's so much better.
New script? What? Let's see. Famous white historical figures. A list of people the cops didn't shoot today. How masquerades brainwashed society into 2020. Yeah, there is literally no way in hell we're doing this. Oh my God, stop doing drugs in the studio. Who let him in here? Was it Fee? It was Fee, wasn't it? Damn it, Fee!
Ooh, we're gonna 86 that potty mouth too, which is why I've also brought you a little swear jar. You know what? The first one's on me.
I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?
I'm Charismiris.
Charismiris?
Yes.
Sounded like you were going to say another name.
Nope.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was it exactly?
It's Demascusian.
Oh, it's what?
Demascusian.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
Oh, come on, Connie.
Claire.
People don't want to learn anything from comedy. We don't want to learn anything at all. We just want to live in our bubble and laugh in our bubble and love, I mean.
I knew it. That's not a man bun. It's a bob. Who the hell let this Karen in here?
Very good, Claire. You found me out. But you will make these changes to your show, or I will leave a scathing Google review.
Oh my God, Gabe! Did you tie up one of my writers?
So sorry, Claire. It all happened so fast. She just ran in here with her venti, Starbucks cup of Quaaludes, smelling like Walmart and demanding to speak to my manager. I was so scared.
Fee?
Is that a water gun?
Come on. Now I gotta fix a door.
Get the hell off my lawn.
I have the right, as an American, to be wherever the hell I want. Also, I have an actual gun.
Ah!
Your dark magic has no power over me, witch!
Fee, that is not witchcraft. That is a gun. Get the hell down!
Yeah, and this here is a half a gallon of unused Johnson & Johnson straight from Texas.
Fee!
They weren't using it.
Okay, yeah, but...
So unless you want to be soaked in science, I suggest you make like a tree and go fuck yourself, Karen.
Just so you know, this is discrimination.
Ah!
No! Get that away from me!
Get some! Here's your fucking manager! The power of science compels you, bitch!
It burns! It burns! It's burning my rights away!
Fee, did you really steal half a gallon of Johnson & Johnson for your water gun?
No, don't be ridiculous. The vaccine wouldn't burn anyone. This is holy water.
And there you have it, everyone. This has been How to Get the Most Out of Your Holy Water. Wait, where's Mike? Is he tied up somewhere too?
Nah, he just wrote himself out.
According to the Pentagon, America's war with Afghanistan is officially over. So, to learn how our nation is coping with this breakup, we go to her besties, Canada and Great Britain.
Oh, hey there.
Yeah, hello.
Hiya.
We're here. You're welcome.
How you doing, eh?
Canada, Great Britain, on behalf of America, I just want to say thanks for always being there.
Oh, sure. Here's a tub of maple syrup.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Oh, sure. Give the Americans more sugar. I swear they'd lose a leg if they had any left to stand on.
Brit, you promised.
Yeah, all right. Well, here it is, America. Your war relationship with Afghanistan was doomed from the start, all right? After 20 years, it still wasn't going anywhere.
They were just so abusive and toxic for each other.
Yeah, and now that the free world's free of that, you need to get a pedicure, get back on Tinder, and get drunk before you rebound with North Korea, love. Because we know you will, Amy. Don't do it.
Don't do it, Amy.
Seriously, don't.
Wow, you guys know us really well.
We do. America always seeks out relationships based on war.
And I know it hurts to see him with China and Russia. It's never easy to see your ex with your ex. But it don't mean you two can't be friends. Look at us.
Look at you in Germany.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
You may want to, especially in the next few months, but you're not to stick your gun inside him anymore.
Until she gets a text from Afghanistan at like 2 a.m. for a booty call.
US, you want to come over for some oil?
Yeah, she can't stay away. You remember Nam?
They've been in an unofficial open war relationship since the 70s.
Not that we're battle-shaming or nothing. After World War II, I guess we all experimented with multiple enemies at some point.
That's true, yeah.
So, is there anything else America needs to do to move on?
One, update your Facebook status.
Just make it official, hon. You'll feel so much better.
Two, switch to a greener diet. For fuck's sake, everybody else is doing it. You look foolish. I mean, look at your chicken, mate. Why is it a nugget? Like, what is a nugget?
It'll be healthier for your body of land and your American spirit, eh?
Three, do some introspection, all right? Ask yourself, what could I be doing differently instead of trying to control other countries and their resources?
I know you've got a big heart and want to help everyone, but solve your own shit issues so when you do intervene, you'll actually lead by example. And remember, we're saying this because we love you.
Oh my God, yeah, we love you so much, girl.
Love you so much. That's all we're saying, eh?
You want to be so great, maybe act like it. Yeah, that's it.
America's best friends, Canada and Great Britain, everyone. Great news, everyone. We have new staff writers this season. We were able to hire them through your support from Patreon. To keep our writers on our team, please consider subscribing to our Patreon. Thanks so much to our patrons, Sam, Laura, Andy, Christina, Anthony, and Anna. Hope to add your name next week. For more information, find us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Up next, my interview with Lee Poe from Sarah Circle. For today's interview, we have Lee Poe. She is the Foundations and Corporate Relations Manager at Sarah Circle. Lee, thank you so much for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're super excited to chat about Sarah Circle and all the work that you all are doing. To get us started, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Okay. So like you said, I'm Lee Poe and I work at Sarah Circle in our development office. And before I was there, I was working at a early childhood center nonprofit doing really similar work. I was there for about 4 years. And before that, I worked for a nonprofit working with credit recovery for students who were at risk of dropping out of school. And I tutored there and I also ended up doing some admin work. So kind of my job history.
Yeah, nice. So a lot of work in the nonprofit field.
Yes, I don't think I would do well with the corporate world. I think I like nonprofits. I like having a intention behind the work, and I also like women dominated spaces.
Yes, we do too over here at Sit Still Look Opinionated. That's definitely one of our favorite areas as well. So your current organization, Sarah Circle, for all of our listeners who aren't familiar, could you talk a little bit about it and the kind of work that you all do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a nonprofit that focuses on helping women experiencing homelessness. We serve adult unaccompanied women, which is a pretty big population that takes up the homeless population. It's about, one quarter. And we're actually one of only two organizations in the city that focus on that group. And we've been around since 1979, and we have an array of programs. We do a lot with helping women who are actively homeless and transitioning women out of homelessness. And we have a lot of like case management, employment services, so that's sort of a overview of what we do.
Oh, gotcha. Does Sarah Circle work with only women, or can other people use the services as well?
Exclusively single unaccompanied adult women. So women over 18 without children and without a partner.
Is there a specific reason why someone would seek out a place that's geared towards a specific gender, someone who's a woman or someone who identifies as a woman?
Yeah, so nationally, that population is about one quarter of who makes up the homeless population, and services aren't really provided very widely focused on that. And there's a lot of reasons why women need gender-specific care. And we also serve anyone who's identifies as women. And we're one of the few organizations in town that serve trans people. And so there's just a lot of reasons why, you know, women experience a lot of, you know, trauma and danger on the streets. There's a lot of health implications that come with that, especially for women who have been homeless for a long time. That's chronic homelessness. It's defined by if you've been homeless for over a year and you have a disability. And there's a number of things, you know, like, you know, women's hygiene. It's incredibly hard to deal with that when you don't have a safe private space. Dangers of women with assault, sexual assault. A lot of women come to homelessness from domestic violence, and that can make it, you know, triggering and re-traumatizing to be in mixed gendered spaces. And the aging and medical needs that women have is so immense. So there's something called weathering. I don't know if you know it, but it's where someone is biologically much older than they are chronologically. Yeah, so it's if you're older biologically than you are chronologically, and a lot of the women we serve would fall under that. And on average, women who are homeless biologically are 10 to 20 years older than they are chronologically. It's a huge, it's like a staggering number. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
What kind of services and programs does Sarah Circle offer?
So we actually have four programs, and the first one that I would say is the daytime support center, and that's a drop-in center, and that's for women who are actively homeless. And for a woman who is trying to, you know, get herself out of homelessness, that's sort of like an entry point where people, that's kind of can be the start of their journey to ending homelessness, is coming to the drop-in center. It's 9 to 5, 5 days a week. Women can access computer labs, phone services, laundry, showers, 2 meals a day, like arts and crafts. And when it's not COVID and we can have volunteers on site, we provide general interest classes, which can be, you know, law and nutrition and all like dancing and music, things that, you know, more fun than that. And we also have case management. Case management is a really big part of our organization. So a woman would be assigned a case manager, and they will come up with an individualized plan on how to end their homelessness. And there's a lot of things that our case managers do. They're, you know, awesome, because it can be how to end women's homelessness, how to help her get an ID. You know, you can't get housing and you can't get a job without that. What benefits are they, you know, eligible that they're not receiving? All like what medical needs need to be addressed? So all of that. And and so that's the daytime support center. And then next we have our interim housing program, which that's a 50-bed shelter. And it's not like a night shelter. It is a long-term shelter. On average, a woman will stay 90 days, and they exit the program once we have secured housing for them. And that is kind of like all the things that we have at the daytime support center are what's provided at the interim housing. And one thing that I think is like important to stands out about daytime support center, definitely, and also the interim housing, is it really does create a community and a sense of community so vital for these women who have often been ostracized and overlooked. You know, the homeless population, no one needs to be told this. We all know it's, you know, they are not treated with respect, and that's an incredibly important thing to us. We utilize a lot of best practices such as trauma-informed care, motivational interviewing, harm reduction. So it's really about how do we build a woman up so that she can have the confidence. And so the interim housing program, it's that, the 50-bed shelter, and again, computer labs, classes, case management, all of those things. And then we have our permanent supportive housing program. And actually, December 2020, we completed construction on our second building, which has a new space for our interim housing program and also 38 new units of permanent supportive housing. So that makes that brings us to, we have 72 units. And these are units that we run where the woman can live permanently. And again, she can come to the center and access our other, you know, the general interests, all the, you know, the things that are being offered at daytime. They can come and enjoy those. And they also maintain having a case manager. They, you know, it is permanent and it is supportive. We stay with them. And if the woman has no income, she doesn't have to pay anything. If she does have an income, I believe it's, gosh, maybe don't quote me on this, but I believe it's 30%, and that's HUD mandated. That's legally what is required. And then in response to COVID, the city actually has started this rapid rehousing initiative. And Sarah Circle was one of 14 organizations chosen to operate one. And so it's temporary. It's being funded by CARES money. You know, that will run out. And it's actually, there's a big conversation about what happens after that. I'm on a citywide, how would I put this, committee that's working to kind of address some of these issues through All Chicago, who All Chicago distributes the government funding for homeless services throughout the city. But back to rapid rehousing. So the intention of it is to find someone within 30 days of their homelessness and place them into temporary housing. So what the city has done is negotiated contracts with landlords throughout the city, and we're putting people in temporary housing. They're provided case management with the intention that at the end of the program, they will exit into housing, ideally independent housing. And the program on average runs 12 to 16 months. And one of the really like important things that this has provided is wealth. What is, you know, COVID has affected so much. And one of the big things it affected was shelters. At the beginning of COVID, they opened, I believe it was 2 YMCAs and the Armory to alleviate the issue, because shelter beds had to be reduced. You could not social distance, and you know, and Sarah's Circle had that problem too. And we ultimately ended up with our new building and our old interim housing space, keeping them both running so that we could serve as many women as possible. But so at the beginning of the pandemic, they, you know, had these 3 large shelters that then just stopped. You know, they did not continue that. And so it was a very temporary situation. So what we're seeing with the rapid rehousing is it's doing a lot to reduce the need for shelter beds, which is great. We're getting people in housing. And like I said, I'm on this citywide committee about homelessness with other organizations through the through Chicago. And this initiative, it is a little, I definitely want to say controversial, but I think that there's concerns of what does this look like once the funding is done? How do we maintain this? You know, once the funding is done, the, you know, immense shortage of affordable housing will not be solved. That will continue to be the case. So, and what we're finding is that, so again, like if you Google it, the definition of rapid rehousing is what I said. You get to someone within 30 days of homelessness, and, you know, making the length of time someone's homeless shorter is so valuable. But what we're seeing is, and this is such like a sort of a complicated problem, is that we're finding people, we've found that it's people who have been homeless longer who are also entering the program, which, like, fantastic. We don't want to gatekeep anyone from not being able to, you know, have this opportunity and have a safe, secure space. But these are often people who would not be as likely to secure independent housing, but would need permanent supportive housing. And it's just at the moment, we're not sure how to accommodate that. We're, you know, talking about ways to fix that. So, but Sarah Circle is running one. We've brought on case managers for that. And so those four are kind of our programs after a very long and rambling explanation.
You mentioned the women receive support from case managers and other people in the program. So with that in mind, what are some of the ways that you all create community among the residents?
So daytime support center, that is all drop in, word of mouth, women can come. That's, you know, just it's open to all. But in terms of interim housing and permanent supportive housing, there is a citywide database, is perhaps how I would call it, called Coordinated Entry System. And this is true for all homeless services organizations throughout the city. People, clients are referred through that system. So someone needs to be in that system. And then it's basically a points system where the people with the highest need go to the top of the list and they're prioritized for housing. And that's how we get people into our interim housing and permanent supportive housing. And like I said, that's standard throughout the city. That's the process. So we just do what we can.
So throughout this interview, you've touched a little bit on the pandemic, but, you know, it's still in the zeitgeist. So how has COVID affected Sarah Circle and the programs that you all do?
Well, I'm definitely speaking secondhand here. I am one of the few people who was moved offsite. I can do my job remotely, but our employees, our staff are incredible. And being a frontline worker during this is so scary. And everyone, I think, has just like really kept up their morale best they could. And I know it was not easy. I know that, you know, these are people that were very scared. And the sheltering in place in our interim housing program, that's challenging. It's hard when you feel like you kind of have a loss of freedom. And also with our permanent supportive housing, the isolation can really cause heightened fear and anxiety. And to best serve our women and continue housing people, we ended up hiring on another PSH case manager to kind of lighten the load. But so, I mean, I don't think that there's anything groundbreaking. People were scared and it was a really challenging time, but, you know, the services were still provided and, you know, we did everything we could do to keep everyone safe. And we're very proud of this. We had a ton of protocol that we put in place and obviously screening and stuff. And we had no positive cases in 2020 and March of 2021 through Heartland Alliance. We had nurses come to the site and vaccinate staff and clients.
Well, Lee, thank you so much for sharing about Sarah Circle and all the work that you do. If our listeners wanted to find out more about Sarah Circle, where would you direct them?
Well, obviously, you can look up our website. It's sarahs-circle.org. And we actually, during this crazy year, built a new website to make it easier for clients and staff and volunteers. And there's a lot of different opportunities for volunteering. At the moment, any on-site volunteer options are on hiatus until it's safe for everyone to resume that. But people can make lunches and deliver them to the center. You can run, you know, in-kind fundraisers or just fundraisers in general. We'll have people who will run them at their workplace. We also have multiple boards that volunteers can work at. And we've even had employees that were hired from coming on a board. So we have a really tight community and volunteers are really, really wonderful and they do a lot for how we can, how we can do it. And also I'll say we can always come to our events and our events are fun. So if you want to check out any of that, that is all on our website.
Do you all have any big events coming up?
Yes, we do have an event actually coming up and, as I say this, I should have this date memorized, but I'm looking it up right now. And it's called Beer Fest, and it's really fun. It's a really fun time. You know, there's lots of craft beers and there's auctions and we have a band come. And it is September 23rd at Joe's on Weed Street. So we'd love you to come if you're interested. And it's a lot of cool stuff. And that is actually put on by our associates board. And an associates board is sort of like a junior board of directors. It's usually younger people and it's kind of a chiller vibe. And they put on this event and it's always really exciting. And definitely, I would guess for the demographic who listens to this podcast, that's sort of like the vibe where people would be going and getting involved with the associates board. Our other big event is called Winter Walk, and we hold it in January/February. And we call it Winter Walk, a mile in her shoes. And this year we did it virtually with recordings, which was really interesting. And we had a great turnout. But basically how it works is we meet at Truman, and we all go on a walk for 1 mile through the city and then come back to Truman. And then it's casual, a hot dog lunch. And then we have people talk. Our alderman is really involved with us, which is fantastic. And our executive director. And it's kind of like, you know, what is like a little glimpse at what is it like to be experiencing homelessness in a Chicago winter. And people will get teams together and you kind of like go with your crew of friends. And you know, I commend it for being something different. And galas are great and they can be really fun. There's absolutely no shade towards galas, but I think it's really interesting and unique thing trying to make an experience that enlightens people to what we're working for. And I mean, I don't know what it's like. You know, you can only imagine with these things. But so that's kind of our other big event. So, you know, come winter, you can keep your eye out for that if you want to get, you know, some friends together and go on a mile walk.
Wow, that's so cool that you all were still able to do that event virtually last year. That's really wonderful.
I was just going to say, and I do like feel like it's such a testament to our supporters that, again, absolutely no shade on galas, but they're fun and they're glamorous. And that can seem more fun than walking around on a Sunday in Chicago in the winter. But I think it really does speak to the commitment of our, you know, the people involved with our organization. We have wonderful supporters. So, you know, I just think we've been very fortunate with that.
So we do have one signature question here on Sit Still Look Opinionated. And that is, what is something you're opinionated about? And it can be about literally anything.
Yes, I'm very opinionated about, and I think this is a really important topic, reality TV, and specifically 90 Day Fiancé, and more specifically than that, Before the 90 Days, which is the best version of that show. And if anyone doesn't know the 90 Day universe, there are, last time I checked, literally 15 different offshoot TV shows. And the whole process is about a non-American coming to America and trying to marry an American. They've usually met online and you have 90 days to get married. It's the K-1 visa or K-9 visa. But before the 90 days is, and it's so fantastic. It's the American going to the other country. And the wonderful thing about it is on the mainstay show, when the non-American will come to America, they've already met. On Before the 90 Days, these people get catfished and it's perfect television. And like, there is no greater joy for me than watching like a bumbling idiot make a fool of themselves in a foreign country. It's very funny. They are fulfilling every stereotype of Americans and it's a train wreck that I can't stop watching. Like, there is a guy who, oh my God, this is the best scene of television of all time. He is running away. He's in Brazil meeting his fiance, and he tells her, I have been arrested. I have burned down the houses of my ex-girlfriends. And then he runs into the woods, and she tries to follow him, and he won't stop. And then she gets mugged with a machete.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What service is that on?
It used to be on Hulu, and then they did what everyone's doing, which is making their shows their own app. And I promptly had to buy Discovery Plus, and I encourage everyone to do it.
Oh, Discovery Plus. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, I'm plugging that. Definitely get Discovery Plus instead of donating to my organization. Just kidding. Please donate.
Well, Lee, thank you so much for being on Systolic Opinionated. It was really great chatting with you. And thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. It was really a fun time.
And that's all for today's episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on social media at sitstillpodcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and me, Claire Malky, and written by me, Claire Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Bosanyavichs, Gabriel Skavor, Molly Smith, and Charlie Bain. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter, and royalty-free music from Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link in the show notes. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe to our newsletter at www.sitstillpodcast.com and visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye.